Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, God bless you, church. Y'all are sweet. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. I really appreciate that. And I'm telling you what, this is a great church. Great, great, great church y'all are a part of. Amen. And Pastor, just again, thank you guys for being such encouragers to me, teaching me how to pastor and how to behave. I need to behave. Amen. Well, are y'all ready for the word tonight? So what you want to do is go ahead and crank open those Bibles to the book of Acts. That'll start getting you there on the journey. And I always look forward to coming here. It's just, this is good soil here, you know. You throw down some seeds, and before I leave, man, there's already fruit. I mean, it's crazy around here. This is good soil, and you've got great teaching around here, and you have a healthy church. I love church growth. That's really a wonderful thing. I'm not knocking that. But I'm telling you that some churches have church growth, and some churches have church health. And I will tell you, I would prefer health over growth. In fact, you won't have good growth if you don't have good church health. Thank God you have an extremely healthy, healthy church because of healthy leadership in this church. And wow, man, I'm gonna track with anybody that's like that. Amen. And thanks for having me, Pastor. I really did. And in fact, I got to really tell you how it all came about that I really am here. And I know Pastor really prays about folks coming here, but I got to tell you how I really ended up being your spiritual emphasis teacher this week. Really how it happened. It really started with a conversation with Pastor and Donna. And, they're trying to pray. And he said, Donna, I decided I'm going to bring in the greatest preacher in America for this week. And so she said, I'm with you. And he called, and guy turned him down. So asked Donna, what am I going to do? He said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to call the most intellectual preacher in the world, the smartest, most intellectual preacher. I'm going to invite him to come. That's where I feel God's leading me. So he called, and he got turned down again. It just kept on happening. And he just said, I don't know what to do. He said, so here's what we're going to do. We're just going to invite the best-looking pastor, the best-looking speaker in the world to come preach at Celebration. And wow, he got turned down again. So finally he calls me, pleading with me, Sam, would you come to our spiritual emphasis? And I thought, well, I've already turned him down three times. So I said, yes, I will come. And that's how I got here. So, yep. Hey, let me tell you about a book I got out there, by the way. It's called
Human... That's just not true.
Well, I'm telling y'all that. I do have a new book out there, by the way, that I'd like you to buy. It's called Humility and How I Attained It. So it's out there. You can buy it tonight. Y'all are fun. You know that? Y'all are fun. Praise God. Well, hey, listen, I want you to join me. Let's stand together in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Acts 1:8. Now remember, Jesus Christ has already died. He's resurrected from the dead. He spends his time with his followers. And he's leaving. They don't want him to leave, but he keeps telling them, there's something I'm going to leave you. I titled this The Force because it came out of a series back there. Many of you have already purchased it called The Dark Side. But let me tell you, I used it kind of as kind of a marketing thing, using that because Star Wars was real big in January. And here's the deal. Don't take your theology from Star Wars, okay? It's a great marketing, kind of cool parallels here and there, but don't take your theology from it. Because the Force there could either be used for good or evil. You know that if you track with Star Wars at all. But there is a power, a force within every Jesus follower that they can tap into. It's accessible to every Jesus follower because the same thing that they had, they didn't want him to leave signs and wonders, but Jesus, we need something more. We're saved, bought by the blood, and Jesus said there is more. So here's Acts 1:8. He looks at them and he says, but you will receive what, everybody? power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That word power there, those of you that know a little bit of Greek, knows that it's the word called dunamis. That's just not a typical ordinary power. It's where you get the word dynamite. It literally means mighty ability, mighty power. That's what it means. So mighty ability and mighty power, that is not ordinary. It's not ordinary. It's given by God to his people. Now, these followers of Christ were all saved. They were by the Pelagians, but they needed more. So Acts 2:1-4, he tells them not to leave, but wait for this promise of this power. And look what it says in Acts 2:1-4. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. When they came out of that upper room, it shook up the whole city. And it wasn't just one particular group of people. It wasn't just Jews that got shook up. It was Parthian, Medes, people from Cappadocia, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia. Even the Bible says that Arabs were listening to Jews declare the glory of God. And in that moment of supernatural power, 3,000 people came to Jesus Christ. There were signs and wonders and an awe of all the people. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you something. If I was the devil and I saw ordinary Jesus followers get filled with that kind of power and people start getting saved and a city gets dumped upside down, signs and wonders aren't just happening through preachers, it's happening through ordinary people. Let me tell you, if I was the devil, I would fight this as much as I could fight it. I would tell every Christian, this is not for today. I would stop speaking in that heavenly language. I would stop talking about the baptism. If I were the devil, I would shut this down and fight it in the church in America. But guess what? I'm not the devil. I'm not Satan. I'm Pastor Sam. Amen. And how many of you believe that what was in that upper room is in this room tonight for ALL to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Come on, let's give God praise that all are going to be filled tonight. Let's give him praise that it's going to happen tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. High five somebody and say, fill her up, man. Come on. Amen. Now I want to talk a little bit about this tonight. This is good stuff. You know, Jesus said, these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. You know, what really is following you? There should be the outflow of the presence of God. We've been talking about being people of the presence. There ought to be something that is an identifiable thing that follows the Jesus follower, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit living in your life every single day. And what's your sign? You know, it's kind of like the kindergarten class and the teacher decided that she was going to promote all religions. And so she wanted each child to come and bring some artifact, something from their religion that identified it. And so all of a sudden, here come little Mary Martha. She came in and she had a crucifix. She says, I'm Catholic and this is a crucifix. Next little boy come up, David came up. David said, well, my family's of the Jewish faith and this is a Star of David and I'm Jewish. Finally, little Johnny comes up. Little Johnny comes up. He says, I'm Southern Baptist, and this is a casserole. You know, I really worked hard on that. You should laugh just a little harder. I worked very hard on that. You know how long it was to find that joke? Come on, amen. But there is something that Jesus says is so distinct of his people that have followed him. That is talking about being weird and an oddball. He's saying that the Holy Spirit gives the Jesus follower another experience after salvation. It is the infilling power of dunamis, mighty ability, mighty power to display the glory of Jesus Christ, to be that person of presence. It's not just to lay hands on the sick. It's not just to do signs and wonders. How many know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit will make you a better businessman than you really are? Did you know the Holy Spirit can make you a better student than you really are? The Holy Spirit is practical, folks. He's not just to do signs and wonders. He's to make me a better dad, a better husband than Sam really, Radical really could be. He makes me a better pastor. And listen, I've heard my preaching with the help of the Holy Spirit, and I've heard my preaching without the help of the Holy Spirit. How many would rather hear it with the help of the Holy Spirit tonight? Okay, except that one thing I told you a moment ago about being the best looking and intelligent. That was all me. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was all me. Is it for today, Pastor? Let me just say this. The Holy Spirit is for you today. The power is for the saved. Those of you that have surrendered your life to the Lordship of Christ, you say, well, who's this for? It is for any person in this room who is saying, I'm surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and I want everything he said I could have. Everything he said I have. How many want everything Jesus said you could have? It's for you. Now, the power of that Spirit, just like the force was just for the elite, can I tell you that the power and the endowment of the Holy Spirit to function like Jesus, display his glory, to witness for Jesus, that is for those who have surrendered their life to the Lordship of Jesus. That's who it's for. Now, I want to show you something. I talk real fast, you know, when I get excited, but I want to just take for a moment and break down the word for you to show you that the infilling power of the Holy Spirit that we read about in the book of Acts just a moment ago, that account, and even the first physical sign of praying in communication with God in the language of the unknown tongue is for those who have given their life to Jesus. Now, I'll identify it this way. If you're a student of the word, you're going to find something that's very clear in there that a lot of every theologian will agree with on this one. Theologians will agree on that there are three clearly identifiable baptisms in the New Testament. Very clear. It's very clear. It's very distinct. There's a pattern there. You'll see it. And here it is. Three baptisms. It's the first baptism is what we call the baptism in the body of Christ. What that really is when you give your life to Jesus. You are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. And here's what the Apostle Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. He says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So what does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit is the agent that brought you and me to Jesus Christ. He was the convicting agent. He was the one that brought us to Jesus, pulling, tugging on our heart. And then Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says that he marked us, the Holy Spirit marked us by sealing inside of us the work of Jesus Christ when we got saved. It was sealed. We knew we were sons and daughters of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body as being the Jesus Christ follower. That's salvation. That's the first baptism. Here's the second baptism that I want to tell you about. It's very clear in Scripture. Very clear. The second baptism you'll see in the Scripture is baptism in water. Baptism in water. This is so powerful. It is so important. If you, as a Jesus follower, have never been water baptized where you go into that water, you need to follow Jesus in this command because it was a part of the command. It was a mandate by Jesus, not a suggestion. As a Jesus follower, be baptized going into that water and saying, I have died to the old man, I have died to the old woman of sin, and I'm resurrecting in the power of Jesus Christ, that now when I face sin, I face it through the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection. That's what the baptism in water. Now, there's some of you that have been sprinkled as a child, and you've never done this, and maybe you're trying to walk through all this. Now, listen, I would never want to take that memory away from your family, but sprinkling as a child was to honor your parents' faith. You didn't have a clue what you were doing. Water baptism, going to water, is to say, I honor Jesus and know what my faith is. It's great for their faith, but it's not about your faith. Come on, let that water baptism say, I have been buried with Jesus and resurrect in the power of Jesus Christ. Now look at Matthew 28, 19. This is why it's so important. Here's Jesus talking. He says, therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So baptism, watch this, water baptism usually follows repentance. Normally in Scripture, it follows repentance of your sins. Now, I can tell you, though, that I have seen people get water baptized but never got saved first. So here's the deal. If you get water baptized before you actually get saved, can I tell you what happened to you? You just got wet, and that was it. You just got wet. But when you get saved, you're saying, I am going to face life from now on through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that is alive in me. Here's what it is, and it's public. It's public. Let me tell you why it's public. Because it declares to every person, saved and unsaved, and to the demonic forces, I now face this world and every sin that tries to come against me through the power of Jesus and not the power of my own works. It's what marks you. See this ring? Girls, this marks every man that has one of these. It means he is taken. He is married. He belongs to somebody. Mess with him, and girlfriend will mess you up. Can I tell you what water baptism is? Water baptism is a sign to Satan himself that don't you dare mess with my people. They are marked as my bride, bought by my blood, and they are one by the Spirit in me. And they have shown this through water baptism. How many thank God that there is power in water baptism? If you've never done it, do it.
Can I have my microphone on, please? Thank you. Sam, just as a course of discipleship here. Second or third Sunday in July, I will teach on the subject of water baptism. Second or third Sunday of August, don't have my calendar in front of me, we will have our outdoor water baptismal service. It is awesome. Last year, 72 people followed the Lord in the waters of baptism. And I expect this summer we'll have even more. So get prepared for that. We have the best venue, I think, in America for an outdoor water baptismal service. We gather close to the banks of a private lake in front of a home, and there we baptize people. And I just want all of you to know what he's talking about is very, very, very important. We have baptized at this site hundreds and hundreds of people, and I just want that to be in your thought. I'll teach in July, and then we'll do it in August.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That is awesome. I'm liking that. I like that. I like that. Water baptism, second baptism, right? What was the first one? Baptized in the body of Christ. Second was water baptism. Now here's the third one. Here is the third one that every theologian will tell you is in the scripture. Any theologian worth their salt, here it is. It's the baptism in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to Acts 1:8 again. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now, I'm going to show you that in the scripture, you see that path through the New Testament. I don't have time to get into it all, but I'm going to show you just a couple, okay? Let me show you just a couple. When you look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 39, they clearly identified the three baptisms. And I want you to see this real closely. When they're coming out of that upper room, and all of a sudden they're watching these people just, and they think they're all drunk, here's what the apostle says. He gets up and he says, brothers, what shall we do? Here it is. Peter replied, repent. Everybody say repent. That is baptism in the body of Jesus Christ. What is he talking about? He's talking about salvation. Repent and turn back to God. There's number one. He says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. What's he talking about there? He's not talking about salvation into the body. He's talking about water baptism in following Jesus Christ. Watch. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Third baptism. Baptism number three. For the promise is for all who the Lord our God will call. For the promise is for you and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Now this is interesting, friends. This is very interesting. Sometimes the sequence wasn't the same. If you look in Acts chapter 10, verse 47, you will see that some of them got saved and then immediately got baptized in the Holy Ghost and then got water baptized. So you can see sometimes, but salvation was number one, baptism first, that had to happen. They were water baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. You see the pattern over and over and over and over and over. Now some Christians, here's what happened. Some of you were raised in a teaching that told you two baptisms are all you need. But how many of you want to be true Jesus followers and take all three that he wrote about and talked about under the power of the Holy Spirit? They tell you two is all you need. Two is all you need. Now, well, hold on. There were more baptisms. People say, well, that was just for that moment. There were more baptisms in the early church as you read through the book of Acts. You go to Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts verse 19. So here's what you do. When you look at the book of Acts in your Bible, we see the book of Acts. Remember, the book of Acts is not just covering a couple of weeks. The book of Acts is actually covering several decades of the early church when it was first born on the day of Pentecost. It's covering decades, decades, all right? So now I want you to go to Acts 19 when the Apostle Paul comes to the people of Ephesus, the Christians in Ephesus. He talks to these Ephesians. He's in Acts 19. Now stop for a moment. Acts 19 was about 10 years after what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, everybody. That was 10 years later, okay? And it hasn't changed. He looks at these believers, Jesus followers, saved but not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And look what he says. Follow the pattern again. Watch this. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. See, some of y'all are coming tonight, and some of you came from other church backgrounds, and you hear pastor talking about it. You've never heard this before. But how many glad your ears are open, your spirit's open to receive tonight. Amen? Watch this. Verse 3. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. They replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance, baptism one, of sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. Salvation, baptism into the body of Jesus Christ. Number one, salvation. As soon as they heard this, watch this, they were what, everybody? There's the second baptism, into water. And as soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, how many want to guess what happens right after that? Verse 6, look at this. When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. Prophesied means to declare and reveal the glory of God. That's the purpose of the baptism. The Holy Spirit always gives witness to Jesus Christ in your life and in every area of your life. They were saved, water baptized, boom, filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first physical manifestation was communication with God from spirit to spirit. Pray. How many of you believe that God has not stopped doing that for the church today, just like he did in that early church? Because look what it says in Acts 2:39. All that stuff you've read about, when the church started back then, when it all started back then, he says in Acts 2:39, this promise, speaking of the outpouring of the Spirit, is for you, it's for your kids. I'm so glad Pastor wanted the children to be here today. He said it's for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Some people say, well, it's stopped, Pastor. There are people not being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, has God stopped calling people to himself? No. Otherwise, we just shut the doors and go home. So if he's not stopped calling people to himself, how many know he's not stopped filling people with the baptism power of the Holy Spirit? He said, this promise is not just for you guys right now in this moment of the early church. He said, this is for everybody whom the Lord our God, all those people that are far off, Jews and Greeks and Gentiles and all that are far off, clear to 2016, all those people. It's for those people that are gathering at Celebration Christian Center tonight. It's for A-double-L. It's for you and your kids. Yeah. Come on, folks. How many in this room, for you and your kids, how many of you have ever had parents? Please raise your hands. That's for you. Some of you, never mind. From another planet. I don't know. Listen, God says this is for you. Do you realize, folks? Do you realize that God is pouring out? Do you know by 2025, they said of Christians that are spirit-filled with this Pentecostal experience like we're teaching about, by 2025, there will be over 1 billion spirit-filled Christians around the planet Earth by 2020. How many believe God is still pouring out his Spirit and he might as well do it in us tonight? Amen? For you. For you. Now you say, okay, Pastor, I believe it's for me. Some of you have been, you've just been at 2 baptisms. Don't stop there. Take the third. Yes. Take door number 3 too. Take it all. Take it all to give you power to be like Jesus Christ and to glorify him, to witness of him, to become even better as a man and a woman of God than you are right now. Oh, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will rock your world, man. Come on, what the phone booth was to Clark Kent, the Holy Ghost will be to you. I promise you. It'll change your life. Now, here's the second thing I want you to see. The second thing is why, you know, we talk about this first physical sign of speaking in the heavenly prayer language. So many people want to avoid this issue of praying and communicating with God because he wants to be known to communicate, not just in your English, but as they did in that day, to pray in the language of the Holy Spirit. Now, mind you, I don't have time to break this down, but everyone, the Bible, Paul talks about that everyone can pray in the Holy Spirit language in their private intercession. Everyone can be used in a public setting like you saw tonight for interpretation, but not all do. They can, but not all do. But everyone, he says, I pray that you pray more than I do. He's talking about everyone being praying in the Spirit every day to commune with God. This is one of the most powerful things you do. It's because praying in the language of the Spirit is for power of supplication. It gives you power when you pray, not just in your English, but in the language of the Spirit, okay? Some people say, well, can't we do without the tongues, Pastor Sam? Can't we just do without the tongues? Well, look, it's kind of like my shoes. When I went into the shoe store, I didn't say, I'd like to buy those shoes. I'd like a pair of shoes without the tongues. How many know you buy the shoes and the tongues come with it? Amen. It's part of the package, okay? Because you see this pattern, you see this pattern throughout the Word of God. Hey, I give them like the Holy Spirit gives it. Come on, I'm sorry. Come on, work with me. Work with me here. Work with me. Now, tongues. Now, let me tell you what. Go to the flip side. It is, you'll see it. If you want New Testament power, you got to follow a New Testament process because that's what it was there. But I'm going to go to the flip side. The flip side is we got a lot of Pentecostals and charismatics that they make tongues the only evidence. I believe it is the first physical sign. I believe it is the first physical manifestation that the power is flowing through you. I believe that. But I'm going to tell you, tongues is not the evidence. It is a evidence of many other evidence that should be in your life as a Spirit-filled believer. Man, we got some Pentecostal. I've been around some Pentecostal that can shandai the wallpaper off the wall. But I'm going to tell you, those motor scooters can be some of those backbiting, gossiping people in church. I'm telling you, they got the longest tongue in the world. I'm telling you, there are some Christians, they speak in no tongues and give a message in tongues, and they'll sit there and backbite people in the church and mock people and be critical of people. They got a long tongue, man. I'm serious. They could sit in the living room lazy boy recliner and lick the spoon off the table. Their tongue is so long. I guarantee it. I'm serious. The attribute of the Holy Spirit, if you'll pray in the Spirit, you'll stop gossiping. You'll stop being so critical about everybody. I'm serious, folks. It'll make you creative. It'll give you the power to reach cultures and groups and generations. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit bridges cultures and generations. Come on, if a bunch of Arabs are going to listen to a bunch of Jews talk about the glory of God and get saved, how many know only the Holy Spirit could make that happen? Our churches should be more relevant to every other person in different religions that do not have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be attracted to it by the power of the Spirit working inside of us. You're serious. The Holy Spirit in you is so powerful. But Pastor, why this praying in not just English, but letting the Spirit pray, like Paul said, daily in my private time in the Holy Spirit? I will tell you the reason why I believe it. One of the reasons so powerful. So powerful. Well, let me back up for a moment. You know, the book of James says that there's one part of your body that is the most unruly member of your body. And the Bible says no man or woman in this planet Earth can know how to tame their tongue. None of us. But how many know the Holy Spirit can tame your tongue? And that one most unruly member of our body, come on, that tongue, doesn't that tongue, it can speak life or death, the Bible says. Our tongues can be like a poisonous serpent hiding behind an enamel picket fence. Or dentures, whatever you want to say. And strike venom and crush a child. Crush somebody in the church. Crush a leader in the church. Just crush them. Well, I just want to be honest. No, we want you to be quiet. I was watching Steel Magnolias with my wife and daughter for Mother's Day. Great line was in it. Some great Southern one-liners in there. And one woman, she said, if you don't have anything good to say about anybody, Come sit by me. The Holy Spirit will help you control your tongue. The most unruly member now is surrendered to the Spirit, and you say, by faith, I want you to begin to pray the will of God. Pray in the Holy Spirit. That unruly member now is submitted to the Holy Spirit to become powerful. Because when you pray in the Spirit, watch this, you pray in the will of God. Now, I want you to listen to me. Sir, when you ask God, by faith, I begin to pray in the language of the Spirit, this unknown tongue, here's what you do. You pray around your own personal will and agenda for your company, and you start praying directly what the Holy Spirit wants. Now, some of you are going, that is a bunch of bunk. I don't believe that. I'm too intellectual to believe that. I want you to look at something real close with me. Look what Paul says about the private use of intercession. 1 Peter 4:14. This is not the public use. This is the private use for everyone. Watch this. Every Jesus follower. He said, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit, watch this, is praying. Watch. But I don't understand what I'm saying. Watch. Well, then what shall I do? I will pray in the Spirit. Watch this. And I will pray in words I understand, my intellect. So I don't just do one of them. I do both. Watch this. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing with words I understand. Are you following this? He's saying there is a place that you unplug with your intellect, and you begin to let the Spirit use your language, and you give voice to that Holy Spirit language. You give a voice to it, that you pray the direct will of God, and you may not even know what you're praying at that time. Now, some of you are going, that is just rubbish, man. Well, I don't know if any of you have seen this, but go Google it. Not in this service. Google it when we're done. But Google ABC Nightline, Martin Bashir. Just put Martin Bashir, B-A-S-H-I-R. Put speaking in tongues. Google it. This was ABC. This was not the Pentecostal evangel from Mecca in Springfield. This is from Martin Bashir, who's pretty much a cynic, and they did a study on people, Christians, who practice speaking in tongues. Go watch it. It's bizarre. It just blows your mind. When you get done watching, you're going to go, yes, that's what you're going to do. Watch this. They studied Christians who practice the power of speaking in tongues, and Dr. Andy Newberg of the University of Pennsylvania decided that they would check the brain waves and do scans of the brain waves while someone was speaking in English and then switching a Christian starting to pray in the Spirit. Crazy wild. Because when a person speaks in English, the brain frontal lobes, which control our language, is very active when we're speaking English. Very active. Whenever you start articulating words, the frontal lobes of your brain, it just showed, just was lit up. It just lit up. But when they took Christians and they stopped praying in their English and they started praying in the language of the Holy Spirit, here's what happened. The activity of the brain that just went berserk when language was coming out, it went absolutely dormant and it just quieted down, but their voices kept talking the language, but the activity that should keep going stopped. And they said, this is consistent when they say they have a spiritual encounter which the Spirit of God prays through them. They said it should be active even while they're talking, but when they speak in tongues and leave English, it begins to quiet down and something else takes over. Guess what's taking over? The Spirit of God connecting with your spirit, praying the direct will of God. Now you say, well, that could work for anything. So guess what they did? I'm so glad that Martin Bashir and the University of Pennsylvania did this for us. What they did is they hooked up the same monitors and did brain scans of that same thing, and they did it on Buddhist monks who begin to chant, and they did it on nuns who begin to recite their prayers in meditation. Here's what happened. Their brain activity just stayed absolutely wild while they were doing the chanting, but when they did it with people that spoke in other tongues, it went quiet again, which proves scientifically that there's something praying through the Jesus Christ follower that is more powerful than themselves, and it bypasses all the mind, will, and emotions and prays the direct will of the Father. Can somebody say thank you, Jesus, for the power of praying in the Holy Spirit? Go watch it. Go watch it tonight. It'll blow your mind. Go watch it. It's just so cool. I love it. But this is the deal, why it's so powerful to pray in the Spirit. Because sometimes you pray from your soulish realm. The Spirit, if you study the Greek, the word, the Holy Spirit, the word Spirit, is the word pneuma. But the word for your psyche is the word psuche, which means your mind, will, and emotions. And sometimes as a Jesus follower, I pray with my mind and understanding, but I'm praying what Sam Reifkugel feels, what Sam Reifkugel thinks, and what his emotions are pulling him. But when I begin to pray in the Spirit, I bypass my mind, will, and emotions, and I go into the Spirit of God and begin to pray the direct will of God. How do we know that? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed with words. It's those unintelligible words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. You start praying the direct will of God instead of praying out of your mind, will, and emotions. You pray Spirit to Spirit, and you pull down what is in heaven into time as you're praying Spirit to Spirit. Because sometimes you don't want to pull down what you just prayed in your natural thinking and emotions. Some of you are going, oh God, just give me this job. I hate this job. I hate this job. Just give me another job. There are a bunch of Christians. I want to work for Christians, God. That's why I want to work for all these Christians. And I just hate these people over here. Oh God, I pray. And the Lord says, why don't you pray in the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit sidesteps you, and you still stay in the job that you want to get out of. But you're praying in the Spirit. Why are you still in that job? Because what God is, he realizes that 10 years from now, the company that you're wanting to go to is going to go bankrupt and be out of business in 10 years. But the one you're with, you're going to get promoted. You're going to be an influencer of a Christian in that place. And you're going to have a sustainable income until you retire. And he says, no, pray the Spirit instead of praying the will. Some of you praying for a man in your life. I'm praying for a woman in your life. Oh God, I got to have her. Look how great she looks, God. Oh God, he's so spiritual. He's up on the front. He's just waving his hands. God, he's the one. He's the one. Give me that guy. And God says, no, time out. Pray in the Holy Spirit over this. Because you really need to pray about that dude. Because I have a picture of him 25 years from now. And he thinks... He thinks he's Rico Suave, and you think he's this big chick magnet. But 25 years from now, he's going to be a refrigerator magnet. Let me just tell you, he is the wrong guy for you. See, here's what it is. You remember the scripture where it says that deep calls unto deep, deep calls unto the deep, deep calls unto the deep? When you pray in the Holy Spirit, your spirit is the deep within you. Not your mind, not your will, not your emotions, your spirit that has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit when you got baptized in Jesus is the deep in you. But the Holy Spirit is that deep that pulls the deep in you. The deep in God starts pulling the deep in you of the things that God knows you really need. It's just like the gravitational pull of the moon. We don't understand it. We can't explain it, but there's something deep in the moon that brings the gravitational pull, that brings the tide in, and it starts moving things that are in the heavens, and it starts moving in on earth. When you start praying in the Holy Spirit about your kids, about your marriage, about your job, about your relationships, guess what God does? He starts taking the deep that's in the heart of God and starts taking the deep within you, and he starts moving things that are in heaven. He starts moving them on earth, but he moves it to his direct will that'll bless your life. How many of you want to pray in the Spirit that moves the heart of God to the will of God? Oh, pray in the Spirit. Amen? Pray in the Holy Spirit. It's good. All right, so I'm coming in for a landing. Really, I'm coming in for a landing. Long runway, but I'm coming in for a landing. Pastor Sam, I want that third baptism. I want it. But how does that happen? Because my intellect kind of is of a barrier to this. I mean, how does God do this? That you start praying in that language. I mean, what does he do? Does he come down, you know? Does he, you know, flip your tongue, slap your lips? What does he do? Does he come in and go, brrr, should I feel something going up and down my back like little doodads, hibby-jibbies? What should I do? I mean, you'd be surprised what people think. You know, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 15 years of age, and I remember, I'll change the name to protect the innocent, but Sister Beulah and Sister Ethel, my goodness, they went screaming in my ears like a machine gun in tongues, man. A machine gun in tongues. Oh, my word. I mean, I don't know how I got prayed through to the Holy Spirit. I think they just finally wore me down is what I think they did. I mean, they'd sit there and go, hold on, let go. Hold on, Sammy. Let go, Sammy. Hold on, Sammy. Let go. I'm sitting there going, what are you? Hold on, let go. I'm sitting there hyperventilating. Hold on, let go. Hold on, let go. Hold on, let go. I just didn't know what to do. I mean, there's some pretty bizarre things that happened back then, you know. They just go, just say glory. Just say glory. Come on, Sammy. Say glory, glory. And I'm sitting there going, glory, 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 glory. We're 45 minutes into glory, 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 glory. We just thought the Holy Spirit was going to jumpstart that thing, you know, and take off, you know. Say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Go back to glory, man. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Hey, look, go back to glory, man. Glory, 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 glory. There was a lot of crazy stuff went on back then, you know. That's back when they had the altar benches, and they'd say to you, you know what you need to do? You just need to yield your tongue to the Lord. You just need to lay your tongue upon the altar of God. Well, come on, how do you explain that to someone? Put your tongue on the altar of God. Now, I know what they mean now, you know, spiritually. Put your tongue on the altar of God. I wanted to go, do you know how many runny noses have been on that altar? I will not give me some sani wipes before we go, you know. Just. You're really complicating this. Because so many people, listen, if I was the devil, I would talk you out of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I know what happens when you start tapping into the Spirit of God, starts tapping into you every day. I know the power of what happens to make us more like Jesus. I would tell you it's not for today either if I was Satan. I'd do the same thing. I'd do the same thing. I'd stop you as much as I could and just keep you at two baptisms instead of not experience all three that the Holy Ghost wrote throughout the early new church. I'd do the same thing. So it's for you today. You say, well, Pastor, how does that happen? The best thing I can do is just see what they did in the scripture. That's all. And here's what they did. Here's what it was. Pretty simple. I'm kind of reiterating what I said earlier. Number one, they were sold out to Jesus Christ and surrendered to Jesus. They were not holy people. They were hungry people. Because some of you, the devil holds you hostage saying, boy, I tell you what, if you just get rid of them cigarettes, boy, then Jesus would fill you with the Holy Spirit, but you're just such a heathen, you got that cigarette. Listen, smoking won't send you to hell, make you smell like you've been there, but it won't send you to hell. But there's a lot of other things Christians do that are appetites out of control that they need to submit to the Holy Spirit that goes beyond just smoking, that are destroying them. His job is holy. Your job and my job is hungry. Eat and commune with him every day. Eat, eat. Don't let Satan starve you. Eat, 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 and consume all of him you can consume. So number one, these people were hungry. Listen, they were saved. They were hungry for everything Jesus had. They showed up to everything. This is what I love about y'all on this spiritual. Y'all that show up Saturday morning twice, Friday night. You're here again tonight. I like you guys. You're the kind of bunch that, you know, you shout at the grand opening of a Walmart. You are excited about everything. I love you. I love you. I take you all to Grand Rapids, but I love Pastor Joel too much. Amen. Here they were hungry. And then watch this. In all these instances, you see men and women of faith coming in agreement with them, and sometimes they laid hands upon them. And at that moment that they laid hands, by faith, it says, they began to speak. By faith, they begin. Here's what happens. You give voice to the Holy Spirit. He's not going to sneak up on you and go, boo, boo. He's not waiting for you to go, glory, 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 boom, bang, we're off. It's not what he is. I know it's just a little comical, but too many of you are overcomplicating this. It's by faith you speak. Let me put it another way. How many are saved and you're a Jesus follower and you've given your life to Jesus? Hold your hand up real high. You've given your life to Jesus. Okay. Well, how do you know that you're really saved? Here's how you know. The Bible says that for you to be a follower of Jesus Christ and be saved, your spirit to be regenerated, he says, here's what has to happen. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must believe in your heart, without the shadow of a doubt, without him, he is the only one that can save me. He says, in your heart you must believe, and with your confess. That means declare it everywhere. Jesus Christ saved me. Well, let me tell you something. When you got saved, is this how you got saved? Did they come down and say, now say Jesus is Lord. Say it. Open your mouth. I will yank that. They didn't pry your mouth open. You just simply said, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Would you come into my life, God? I give you my life to you. And God says, boom, that's all I needed. No one pried your mouth open. No one forced your mouth open. Here's what you did to receive the gift of salvation, the first baptism. You had to believe, and you had to open up your mouth, and you had to speak. Can I tell you, with the gift of the baptism, of the third baptism of the Holy Spirit, is it is the exact same principle? You've got to believe. You've got to know that the Holy Spirit is in you. You've got to say, Jesus, I'm so hungry for everything. I want to be like you. And by faith, you give a voice to the Holy Spirit. I don't care if it's one syllable. I don't care if it's two syllables in the divine dialect. You may do like Sister Beulah in my hometown of Garden City, Kansas. It's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. Garden City, Kansas, who went off like a machine gun, and you may just flow with words. But I'm telling you, give a voice to the Holy Spirit. And I know what the devil's already saying to you. I know what he's saying right now. You started, some of you started, you were at home, you were at church, you were in your car, you were worshiping God, and you started with an unintelligible word that was not natural to you, and you released it by faith, and here's what happened. Satan went, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's you. And you, oh Jesus, I'm so sorry, I made it all up, Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, I'm going to hell. He said, and that's you. Well, let me ask you a question. Who else is it going to be? Right. See, here's what so many people, they think you intellectually check your brain out. They think all of a sudden he just takes over and you're just wild and you can't control yourself. And I can't stop my tongue. That's not true. You have to surrender your mind, will, and emotions and your tongue and say, God, I release this divine dialect that is a special message, a special communication between me and you, and I release it in Jesus' name. You say, I'm afraid I'm going to be in the flesh. You come up to this altar. I'll get me the biggest straight pin I find. I'll lodge it into your backside, hear you scream and prove to you, you'll be in the flesh. You'll know what's going on. So I'm going to cover a couple myths real quick, and then we're going to pray. That leads me up to this, is some of you have listened to somebody else's personal theology of experience, and you didn't go to the education of the Word to validate your experience. Well, she said that she felt fire going up and down her, and her right arm started shaking. Well, it might have, but that's not what the Scripture says is the pattern. Some of you laughing because you heard that story, didn't you? Here's what it is. Some of you are so afraid of the third experience. Here's why. Here's the myth. That you can't control speaking in tongues. You just can't control it. And let me tell you the reason why people say they can't control it. Because some very well-meaning, spirit-filled Pentecostals and charismatics took hostage a service, even over the authority of their leadership, and said, I just couldn't control myself. It's just the Holy Spirit. And it just took over, and I couldn't control myself. Wrong. I don't doubt they felt something. I don't doubt that they're sincere. But you are never out of control. You surrender to things. You yield to things. You give up things. He empowers those things. But you are never out of control. Let me explain that. Let's go to the Word. Let's go with what the Holy Spirit said. Listen to what the Holy Spirit wrote through the hand of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 14:32. I'll read it from the Amplified version for a little better clarity, and it's a little louder when you read it from that version. It's Donna's version. I know. We men, we have selective hearing. We can't help it. Amen. Watch. Everybody look at the screen. Because some of you are afraid of it because you watched somebody else and they told you, I just couldn't control myself. Hold on. For the spirits of the prophets, the speakers in tongues, are under the speaker's control and subject to being silenced as may be necessary. Because there was a free-for-all in the Corinth church, and it was a selfish grabbing of the supernatural for everybody out. What they were doing is trying to outperform each other spiritually. It was like a card game. Well, let me tell you something. I've got the gift of faith, and I've got the word of knowledge, and I'll see your word of knowledge, and I'll raise you a gift of healing. And that's the way it was. I called. And he says, you are foolish. And you're scaring unbelievers away from this place. And so many people, see, they don't want to see the baptism because you watch to be out of control. No. You have to give and surrender it to Jesus and say, Jesus, I give voice to those words. Just like I gave voice to my salvation, I give voice to this divine dialect. I don't care if it's one syllable, two syllables. People say, well, I just feel like I'm going to be out of control. You are in control of your prayer language the same way you're in control of any language that you may know. Here's my deal with this, because I know there's some people right now doing a little mental argument in your mind right now. Well, you didn't see. Hold on just a minute. Just a minute, motor scooter. Why is it that that is the only gift some people are out of control with, but you never see them get out of control with any other gift? I mean, do you go to Chuck E. Cheese with your grandkid? And there's the animated puppets going up there singing. And all of a sudden you go, I can't control myself. I feel the gift of teaching coming on me right now. I'm going to get out of my way, kids. Get out of my way. I feel the gift of teaching coming on me right now. And you go up and you march up and you shut down the animators. I got to teach. I can't control it. Here comes the mouse. You punch out the big mouse. You say, I got to teach. How come you're not out of control with that gift? Why is it that we just want to hold hostage the gift of tongues? Or that I was out of control. Why? If you're going to practice it with that gift, why don't you practice with all the rest? I'll tell you, I was saved at 9 years of age. I am now years old. And I have never seen anybody in church lose control with the gift of giving. And that's a gift. Did you know it's a spiritual gift? And that same person who says, well, I just couldn't control myself, they don't pay any tithe. But you can't control it. I would just love in one service to see that happen where somebody got out of the car, where they're standing in service. I would just love to see it happen right now while I'm here. It'd be really cool. Well, all of a sudden, they're standing here and they're worshiping God. And all of a sudden, they go, praise the Lord. Honey, did you see? I can't stop it. It's happening. Oh, no, you know what's going to happen. Oh, no, I can't control it. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. It's going for my wallet. I can't stop it. Dear, pray. I can't stop it. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I should have never put the Franklin in there. I should have never put the Franklin in there. Go for it. Go for Washington. Go for Washington. I can't control. I've never said, why is it that so many people want to hold hostage the Holy Ghost saying they're out of control? I would love to see somebody in this room get out of control and lay $1 million at the feet of this church. Please show me at one time. So many of you got talked out of it. You are there in the quiet of your devotions at home. And the enemy said, that's you, not the Holy Spirit. And some of you go, I just prayed. I wanted to know. You're going to surrender like you surrender your soul. And now, God, I yield and I give my tongue to you. And I release this divine dialect because you're in me. And I release it in Jesus' name. Be glorified, Jesus. Whew. Don't overcomplicate this. I think some folk are going to get filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. I do. I really do. Can I give you the last myth? I got a bunch of them, but let me give you the last one. The last myth is, when you speak in tongues, you should be immediately fluent in the language of tongues. Well, I don't think it was real because, did you hear Ethel? She just went into all these languages, so beautiful. And all I got was this. Please do not minimize and dumb down the power and the glory of the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus through that language. Because here's the myth. Well, I don't sound like so-and-so, so I just don't think it's real. First of all, the most dangerous thing you can ever do is the danger of comparison.
That's right.
It'll destroy you comparing yourself. I mean, look at Saul. He got destroyed because he was comparing, you know, the songs of the people singing. You know, Saul is killing 1,000. David killed his 10,000. He was comparing himself, and he ended up killing himself as a result of comparing himself. Don't compare what God gives you, because you don't just talk. Well, let me just tell you. There are some people that God gives a gift of teaching. Do you think all of a sudden they're the most brilliant theologian when God gives them that gift? No. Guess what they got to do? Study. Go buy you a good Bible with a concordance. And stop calling Psalms psalms. And Job job, okay? You got to grow in it. You might have a gift to teaching, but you got to grow in it. Right? And it's not Malachi, okay? There's no book of Hezekiah, okay? Don't let them fool you. Okay? Philip 66 is not a book in the Bible, okay? That's Dayton, right? Okay, it's really going back, isn't it, for some of you old timers, huh? Just as someone is not fluent and they have an anointing for music does not mean they can immediately play Mozart. They grow in the gift. And when you pray in the Spirit, let me show you something. Some of you may be absolutely fluent. Some of you may be a few words in the divine dialect of the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit knows what you're saying and knows what will you're praying, even though it may sound very similar to you, to what you're hearing always. Listen to this. He is praying because it's spirit to spirit. But as you grow and keep praying, you'll watch that language of the Spirit keep going, and you'll start praying in other realms of the Spirit, and words of the Spirit will come out of you. And even sometimes, here's what happened. You'll start praying in the Spirit so much sometimes, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what you're praying for. I mean, you'll just get this God nudge. I know what I'm praying for. You may not know specifics because the Spirit's praying, but you'll know exactly what you're praying. You're praying for a pastor, a missionary. You're praying for your kid. And you don't know why you're praying for your kid, but your kid's mind comes in here, and you're praying, and you know you're praying and interceding for your child. And you're moving things that you don't even know about, that the Spirit knows about in their life. But don't get caught up with the myth that you've got to be immediately fluent. Okay, how many in this room have a three-year-old? How many got three-year-olds around 2 or 3 years old? Right? How many have ever had a child 2 or 3 years old? Let's try that. Oh, okay, there we go. I know we get the crowd somewhere. Remember when your kids were starting to talk? And you had all your friends over? They're two-year-old. And you're doing that baby talk with them. And you had all your friends over. And here comes your little kid, learn to walk. And they come into the room. And they got that big old soggy diaper, you know, coming in. Brothers, let me tell you about that diaper. You know, when you buy the box and it says holds up to 15 to 20 pounds. It's talking about the baby, okay? Not what the thing will hold, okay? So here comes your kid. And all your friends are around.
and Papa and Mima all around. And here comes you, hey, hey, and they come at you and you go, hey, I'm Mumukalaki. And you're up there going, oh, you're so precious. What you want from Dad? Who you want? Who you want? I'm Mumukalaki. Can you believe it? Any precious? And all your friends and your parents are going, oh, no, my grandchild needs,